This week's episode of Motherfucklore is brought to you by the show's generous supporters on Patreon. Supporters like Orla and Kira Malloy, who have chosen to use the annual subscription feature. There's currently a discount available for people who want to support the Patreon using an annual payment instead of having a direct payment coming out every month. Supporters on Patreon get access to a range of bonus material, bonus episodes, blooper reels, video episodes, and much more. Check out patreon.com/Darek for more. And now, the show.
When I was in sixth class, we had exactly 2 hours of sex education. That was the entirety of sex education for my 14 years of schooling. And basically what happened was Muntor Ultan sent the girls off to one class, and the boys in his class, and he very red-facedly and embarrassed, I think showed us a brief video and then talked about it, and then asked everybody to submit a question to the box anonymously. We were 12 years of age, so we knew more than was revealed in the sex ed lessons, even though we knew nothing comparatively. So I asked the question, like, can you have sex without getting pregnant? We knew what the answer was. It was just for the sake of everybody had to put something in. But of course, the thing about it is Muntor Ultan knew everybody's handwriting. So when he answered these anonymous questions, he'd look directly at the person who fucking wrote it.
I'm just going to respond to your question.
Yes, there are certain things you can do. Like you can, you know, a woman can use the pill or a man can put on a condom. And he's staring at me and I'm just, you absolute rotter. Like I am.
We had a weird video from the HSE. We got a letter home and like that we were separate and the boys and the girls. And I remember the boys being mortified afterward because they got like, the teacher was very involved and he like, you know, gave monologues and answered preemptive questions. Whereas the teacher we had, a woman teacher, of course, because, and she just kind of looked at us sort of just above our heads, not in eye line, like just a little bit above our heads and said, anyone any questions? And we all just sort of like also looked above her head and we're like, no. And then that was it.
I had to teach sex ed.
When
I was a teacher.
What? Yeah, you've been holding out on us.
Yeah,
come
to
on,
teach sex ed as a teacher. Yeah, it was a very uncomfortable experience. The curriculum guidance was good. The stuff I was teaching was good. It was all part of SPHE. So I had to teach that to my own class group when I was teaching. And when I took on that class group, they were in third year because they were 15. And they just wanted to rat on each other as to who was right and who wasn't. sore. He's riding his girlfriend. So I just had to make it very clear at the start of the lesson that as a designated person with a duty of care to my students, I would be bound to report any allegations. Exactly. Yeah. So basically I had to say to them, listen, lads, if you're riding, I have no option but to snitch on you. So do not tell me. Just do not tell me which lads and which girls are riding. Just don't tell me.
We do not want to know.
I do not want to know that. All I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about what the responsible thing to do is eventually when you start riding after the age of 17. And it went very well, actually, I have to say. Once we got that out of the way, the curriculum material was all right. Like the course material was decent and it was nice to be able, because it was a far cry from when I got sex ed. It was nice to be able to talk to them about responsible things and some of them had some really good questions, like, you know, and it's like this, like they're asking, don't ask me, I'm an Irish teacher, like, you know, I was at the time, don't ask me when is the appropriate time to have sex. when you respect someone, I don't fucking know, like, just
when everyone feels like it and we're all having a good time, guys.
We're all having a good time and make sure that both of you are saying yes the entire time. Like, yeah, you know, informed consent.
Speaking of contraception, let's talk baby names.
Let's talk baby names. There's a cold open.
Live from Dublin, Finland. It's Saturday night.
Every time somebody has user responsible as well, I thank you very much for it. Mm-hmm. I have a reminder on my phone to take my contraception at a... I take contraception, sorry, to my mum if she's listening. She's not. I set a reminder on my phone, but I forget it. But then people post pictures of their children on their Instagram stories, and I'm like...
Tell.
That's it. Tell. From the Headstuff Podcast Network, welcome to Motherfucklore, a podcast about words. Irish words, words from Ireland, and baby names. I am the pod dad, Darragh O'Shea.
I'm Geraldine McAvoy.
And I'm Pather O'Quivonic.
And you're all very welcome to today's extra special episode.
Yeah, it's a dad episode. I'm excited. I'm the barren and childless person here to provide context.
I mean, fuck, you had to say barren, didn't you? I mean...
I don't know.
Childless, it's not come is, up. Childless is fine.
Like, I don't know. You know, I'm approaching 30 and childless. Presumably, I'm just going to disappear off the face of the earth soon, I think.
Are we not saying child free now?
Child free.
I was being ironic. I don't care about either of those things.
Child free. That just, that makes me question my life choices.
Sounds a bit of a dick move from people who don't have kids. Be like, oh, I'm child free.
We just call them people with disposable income.
readers.
Readers.
People without sticky surfaces? I don't know. I just assume everything in a person who owns...
They shop at the white company.
Their white goods are still white.
Tell us about your 3-week holiday in Cuba. I really want to know that as I'm scraping shite off the fucking doors and the walls.
It's turned into therapy for you two dads. Anyway. Who, in fairness, have lovely children. But it's like, I like when people come to me and visit with their children. It's lovely because I can give them back. Mm-hmm.
You know, it is completely and totally inexplicable because I sometimes look at my own life and like, I absolutely love being a dad. It is... undoubtedly the greatest thing in the world. It's the single best thing I've ever done is to become a dad. It's absolutely class. I love every minute I spend with my child. And yet I know that I have seen shit go up the back and down the arm of a baby grow. I know that I have seen this and I have dealt with this and I am unable to explain why I am still happy to be a parent. It is completely and totally a mystery to me. The person who's involved in it, I don't understand it. I can't imagine what people looking on think.
You see things. You see things in your parenting and you see them at a point when you are very tired.
Always tired. Always tired. I'm like a Post Malone tattoo at this stage. Like, always tired.
Oh yeah, it's but anyway, at the end of February, something that I get very excited every year is that Ireland releases the new database of the previous year's most popular names, the CSO. And as someone who, growing up with an unusual name, I have become fascinated with the name, with naming process and names in general. I think possibly if my name had been John Smith or something like that, I may not have been as interested in names as I am now. And I'm fascinated by names. I had a whole chapter in my first book. I used Irish names as an example of how to pronounce certain features of Irish spelling. And I've written several name related articles in my occasional career as a journalist. And yes, and so there's a big news this year in the old CSO baby names on 2020, because these were obviously the quarantine babies and the
how many coronas?
Corona didn't feature too highly, but one thing that I thought was very interesting is that there's been certain names that have been quite popular for a while, and we have a new top girl's name.
Well, what is it? Let us have it.
Grace, just hold me in your arms.
Oh, that's nice. And Grace is a nice name.
This moment linger. Unfortunately, well, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your point of view, Emily has been knocked off the top spot.
It's about time. Emily's been sitting there pretty for too long, all right?
She had a good run. Emily had a good run.
And it's just interesting. I have a very good friend back in Rathfarnham called Emily Marr. And she, when she was growing up, we were both growing up, Emily was a fairly unusual name. And she reacted interestingly to it becoming extremely popular. And we actually have a little note from Emily right now to tell you what it's like to have an unusual name that becomes very, very popular. Ding!
Hi, Emily Marr here. Growing up in Dublin in the early 1980s, I knew almost nobody else called Emily. One girl older than me in primary school and another in secondary school. That's it. I could count them and me on the fingers of one hand. CSO.ie tells me there were 53 other babies called Emily born in Ireland the same year as me in the late 1970s. I liked my name, liked that it was unusual but pronounceable. I loved that my parents had named me after the writer Emily Bronte. If I heard my name, I knew it was me being called. I was, 99 times out of 100, the only Emily in the room. There was one thing that annoyed me about my name growing up, or more specifically, what was done to it. In the Lower Rulla at primary school, my name was always spelled E-M-I-L-E and pronounced Emila. I can see the rationale for changing surnames which were originally Irish, but changing other names made no sense at all. Fast forward to the late 1990s when an athlete with the exact same name as me won the 100 metre and 200 metre at the inaugural World Youth Games. A bank teller asked me if I was the Emily Marr. Anyone who knows me knows I'm no athlete, and I always think of that moment as the beginning of the end of having an unusual name. Until 2020, when it was the third most popular name, Emily has been the most commonly picked name every year since 2011, and in the top five since 2008. So I was delighted to hear the news last week that Emily has been knocked off the top spot, with Grace and Fia in first and second place. Every year when the CSO rankings are released, I complain to anyone who will listen. Emily used to be rare. Now it's everywhere. And I frequently hear, Emily, 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 called out in the park. And even though it's almost always a little girl and not 40-something me being named, I always turn around to check.
Thank you so much to Emily for sending that in. Garajean, you and I, we know the struggle. We know what it's like to have a name that doesn't feature. And I'm not sure how I'd react if suddenly there were Dereks or Garajeans everywhere.
Yeah, I do think that, like, I've never met another Garajean. And I know, like, I exist in the Irish-speaking world. I know they're out there. I've just never met one. it is uncommon. And it does cause strife. But I've kind of come around to it. It's funny, I wrote myself, kind of one of the only times I've written in the journal was about fathers, and I wrote about my name. And one of the first, in the first paragraph, I wrote about liking my name. And my parents both read it, and they both sort of looked at me like, well, because I spent my entire teenage years hating it. Because, you know, you don't want to be different. You don't want to stand out. And I used to get this, like, I was thinking about it before we were doing this episode, and I used to get this, like, impending sense of dread every time we had a substitute teacher, because they would read the roll call and I would be there waiting. I would be in my head, I'd be like, okay,
just one
prepare,
second.
Ready. Sorry. He's gone. He's left us. He said, fuck this. No more.
He's done. He's finished.
Yeah. He's left.
Can't
us.
Believe you mentioned substitute teachers like
absolutely
that.
Getting the fuck out. That was the cut off point.
we had a substitute teacher for quite a period of time in secondary school. She took our Irish classes. Oh, and Micheál decided that he would say his name was, what did he say? Seamus O'Connelly. But we used to do that to the point that she actually, she believed him. And she was calling out the roll one day and she said, Micheál, and he said, on short, she said, Seamus. Not Big Maga, don't be joking.
Oh, Seamus with the jokes.
The best one, we used to do that all the time in the class.
Like, what was with that? Like, with the minute the substitute teachers came, everyone was like, okay, fake names.
Fake names all around, like, yeah. So one substitute teacher went into another class and she just... passed around, everybody write your names down. So of course everybody started writing down, you know, Joseph Stalin, David Beckham, you know. So I was like, that's fake. But somebody just put down Martin O'Crohor. Just a very, very normal name. But there was no Martin O'Crohor in the class. So for the rest of the year, while that teacher was there, Martin O'Crohor, Neil Chanchot, he's not here. Call Martin. This is disgraceful. He's never once turned up into the class one time.
Call Martin's parents. This is fucking ridiculous.
Not once. And at one stage, this teacher was teaching in a classroom that overlooked this path that ran down the back of the school, the far side of a fence. So one of the students just saw somebody walking down the path, and meantime the teacher was having an episode about Martin never turning up for class. So they just went, "Shin Martin," and "Shin, that's Martin there walking down on the path." So the teacher bolted straight to the window, opened the window and roared out, "Martin, Taras Jack's a skull," to which this total stranger just turned around and went, "Fuck off." So the teacher bolted straight to the principal's office.
Oh no.
And said, "I saw Martin O'Crohar walking down the black path at the back of the school when he was supposed to be in my class, and I told him to come into the school and he told me to F off." And the principal would just, "Who?" So the whole gig was up.
Oh fuck. You've been had. You fucking had. Yeah,
yeah. You were tricked.
Yeah, we were relating substitute teacher stories and how everyone changes their name when there's a substitute teacher. I don't know what it is about them. But as I was saying, so like I used to get this anxiety when a substitute teacher would come along, because they'd go like Mahan O'Mahony or Mahan Mahony, like whatever. And then eventually like McDonald, then they get to McAvoy and Gerardinen. Grenade. I did get grenade once. Yeah, I got grenade once. I was like, are you just saying words as they're like, look at it first and try and read it. So I used to get this sense of anxiety, but then I kind of came around to it as I got older, because I feel like my name is a bullshit filter, that like if somebody isn't going to try and pronounce my name or is immediately going to ask me for a nickname without even trying, I appreciate that not everyone can do the proper sounds, like depending on what your first language is, but it's not that difficult. If you have, you know, a Western sort of language or whatever, it, you know, if you're not trying, you're probably an arsehole. So yeah, it's served a good purpose. As I've gotten older, I've been like, actually, I like this name. You know that? I've come around to it. It does suck that you can't get your name on like a keychain or anything though.
Yeah, well,
there's loads of Bort mugs, but no Gardein mugs.
Never a Gardein mug.
Never, I know. Yeah, once I think Los Trainers get one of her shots or something, one of her vaccines, and yes, because I believe in vaccines, and the doctors, and was like, "What's the name?" And I said, "That's La Serena." And he goes, "Oh, she'll thank you for that." And I was like, "Go fuck yourself."
She fucking will thank you for that. Yeah, actually, sure. So get in the bin. She might not when she's a teenager. I think
every teenager is going to rebel against their parents for the name that they've been landed with, regardless of whether that name is Emily or Grace or Gardein or La Serena. I don't think it matters. There's going to be a period where she's not grateful for anything. That's fine. But I mean, look, it's a name. I don't know. Look, it's amazing. I love this time of year. I love these top 10 lists of names. But the surprising thing is, unlike chart hits, you never get a bolter. You always see a name creeping steadily up the list. Nobody comes straight in at number one. You do get new entries to the top 10 all the time, and sometimes they grow and they grow and they get up there. But it's not as if there were zero Graces last year and there's hundreds of Graces all of a sudden. Yeah. It's a steady climb.
It's not as if suddenly Owleev becomes the top boy's name. Suddenly, out of nowhere, Owleev, number
that's
one.
That's one of my favourite names.
I love that Owleev. I was playing a game with my partner the other day when this came out, because he's not Irish. And I was like, what is the most, hypothetically, for our hypothetical children, what is the most Irish name that you would accept? Saoirse got a look in, and Donal, I think, because of Saoirse Ronan and Donal Gleeson. But otherwise, I was like, Owleev. And he was like, that's not a name. And I was like, fuck you, it is.
But it speaks to your potential child's shared Gaelic and Nordic heritage.
Yep.
Not that there were many Finnish Vikings, but still.
There was a few, and he's a Swedish speaking Finn as well, so the jury's still out on him.
He's a Northman.
Yeah.
So even though Grace has taken the top place this year, it's one of these things. It's like with the AC/DC rule in the charts. It's, while it's climbed high, it's done better in the charts, it's actually got less numbers. The AC/DC rule is a phenomenon in music history where a band's most successful album isn't their best charting album.
Oh, it's got longevity at number two, exactly. Number three. Yeah,
Grace has actually dropped in actual numbers of new births, whereas Fia, the big breakthrough name of the decade, if not the century, is the big breakthrough Irish name, has actually been increasing in its volume. FIADH,
yeah,
Wildness,
lovely name, very dear, nice name.
And yeah, it's a beautiful name.
It's a beautiful name, and it's lovely. It's crack. It's got on. There's been a lot of a few people. I wouldn't say showed their ass, but a lot of people did put their hands up and say, "What's going on? Where's this name coming from?" And what's interesting, the great thing about the CSO is they give a certain amount of regional breakdown, as well as giving the actual top figure. And it does seem that FIA is more popular in the west of Ireland.
Oh,
okay.
And I mean the entire western half of the island, as opposed to just the west, what we traditionally refer to as the west.
So lots of FIAs on Schlie on Atlantic Eon, the Wild Atlantic Way.
Oh, yes.
The only FIAs I know are from Dublin. I know a FIA, and she's contemporaneous with us, shall we say. Like, she's not a baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful name. I think it's absolutely lovely. Gorgeous. But yeah, look, there's sometimes generational names. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's generational names. Like, when I was in college, you couldn't move for Dave's and Sarah's.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't know where you knew someone, they were probably Dave's mate or Sarah's mate. Like, and when I was a scout leader, if one of the scouts did something, you could probably get away with shouting either Jamie or Aaron. You know, and those are just the generational names. And yeah, we've got a lot of Jacks, a lot of Emilys, and now a lot of Graces. And I was delighted that you sang that beautiful song, Dara, because your dulcet tones are just what this podcast needs. I remember I was at my friend's wedding. Sorry, just a quick aside. I was at my friend's wedding a couple of years ago, and having a great time, great party. And you know, as is traditional at weddings, any relatives with a bit of talent might be invited up to do an L song. And my friend's daughter, so the daughter of the groom, sang O Roshe de Vahawalia. And then the bride's uncle sang Grace. And these happened back to back. I swear to God, there were 300 people in that room who wanted to seize the nearest post office immediately. Come on!
It's a great song. Two great songs.
We'll be right back after this message from another very fine Head Stuff Podcast Network show.
I'm Gerard Farrelly, and I'm the host of Fascinated. Have you ever wondered about the pop bands you liked as a teenager? What went on behind the scenes?
We had played this like grand prank.
It sounds terrible, but I'm just so relieved it's over. And then they had this like great idea of getting another girl in who looked like Heavenly.
What did they do afterwards?
And all of a sudden you're like, that's the end of that.
It was all blowing up and it all kind of just unraveled.
And I thought it would last forever and it didn't.
Check out Fascinated with me, Gerald Farrelly, on the Headstuff Podcast Network.
I would consider that while Grace is like Patrick, that is not etymologically an Irish name, but it is a name closely associated with Irish history. But rather than just assert this shit and just move on, which, you know, other podcasts might do, we're the hardest working podcast in town.
Yeah,
we sometimes assert it and move on, though. Like, I mean, to be fair, we do that. I've done a fair amount of asserting and moving on in my time. Let's own that.
AAMO is what that's called. We're going to do less. It's my resolution to do less AAMO and do more HWPIT. Hardest working podcast in town. And that's why I pulled up the numbers for the
I did a Google.
I did multiple Googles. And I compared the results because I looked at the baby names in Australia or New South Wales, specifically Massachusetts, Scotland, England and Wales, because they combined them and just said, well, you know, how much of this is a global phenomenon and how much this is specific to Ireland, because there are definitely global trends in the English speaking world. Yes. Mm. I mean, I figured to use kind of how much of Ireland's names represent part of its Anglosphere kind of function, how much of it is specific, and are we closer to Scotland or Australia? Are we closer to Massachusetts or England? Who's to know? We know. And do we know?
You know.
Look, Grace is generally top-tening it around the world, in the English-speaking world. Generally speaking, it's doing very well, but it's doing markedly better in Ireland and in the Republic of Ireland and in Northern Ireland. It is more popular.
I would have thought that that was actually going to, you were going to say the UK generally as well, because I know there has been a rise in names associated with Peaky Blinders, and Ada, I think, has seen a resurgence, and maybe Arthur as well. And they that was connected to Peaky Blinders, given that there are two characters from it. But Grace is also a character from Peaky.
The top 10 in 2019, because you don't have the 2020 stats for England and Wales yet. For girls, it's Olivia, Amelia, Isla, Ava, Mia, Isabella, Sophia, Grace, Lily and Freya. And Emily isn't even in the top 10 in England anymore. So that's it. It's peaked there.
How the
there.
Mighty have fallen.
Emily, gone.
And in Scotland, there's a significant overlap between Scotland and England and Wales there. Olivia, Emily, Isla. Interestingly, Emily is more popular in Scotland than is in England and Wales, similar to Ireland. Emily, Olivia, Isla, Sophie, Ella, Amelia, Ava, Grace, Freya, Charlotte. So again, significant overlap there.
Charlotte, that's a mm-hmm. royal thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a princess, yes. Charlotte.
There is.
That happened as well during when the two chaps were born as well, didn't they? Have resurgence and whatever their names are.
Millions of Harrys and
George.
Wills.
George.
The Daily Mail and the Evening Standard say that baby Charlotte or young Charlotte is adorably naughty and is already a style icon. So, I mean.
They also said that she's very talented because she speaks two languages before the age of two, like the rest of the fucking world. Most of it anyway.
Like everywhere that isn't Britain.
Yeah. Like. Like excluding the monolingual world, which is very fucking small.
Yeah, I didn't know which two lads you meant. I was George and what's his name? And
I don't know what the...
Louis.
Yes.
That's it, George and Louis.
Yeah.
I thought you meant Harry and Will, because there was loads of them as well.
Was there?
There's loads of Harrys. There was a Harry boom after Harry was born.
But here's the thing. So I have a theory that actually, certainly in the Irish example, that... While names are pop, we generally think, oh, people are naming their kids after a famous person. I find the Irish people actually get embarrassed and choose to veer away from a name when it becomes popular. Like Sinead dropped very sharply as a popular girl's name after Nothing Compares to You was number one.
Oh.
Rachel dropped in popularity when Friends became big.
Oh, has Saoirse dropped?
It's still one of the most popular Irish names, but it's holding fairly. The big thing is, this is where the second part of Derek's theory kicks in. If there's more than one famous person with that name, then that's fine. If one famous bearer is rocking it very hard, then people veer away from it. But if, let's say, when you had Harry Potter and Prince Harry, that was okay, because then that the name was normalized.
Oh, you're not named after that guy.
I remember reading though that the name Donald got real popular after Mad Men.
Oh,
and then it got real fucking unpopular quite soon after that.
this is a thing, and I to add to this, there was I had another example there. Elsa was rising popularity until Frozen, and then in Ireland certainly started tailing off a bit after that, because people are like, oh shit, don't everyone think I'm a big sap naming my kid after a cartoon character.
I know about five dogs named Elsa after that, because they got a little white dog and they called her Elsa.
So I don't know if I've ever told you this, but my name was not meant to be my name initially. I was supposed to be named after my two grandfathers, James and Robert. My mum's dad was actually born Timothy, but as was very common in Ireland at the time, he's known by his middle name. So he was Bobby to all and sundry. So I was supposed to be called James Robert.
JR,
yeah, that's the problem. I was born in 1984 and the biggest TV series at the time was Dallas. So my dad basically put his foot down and said, I'm not naming my kid JR. So they picked a name that they liked that was the name of a dear friend of the family, and I am Peter. And I was little Peter, and my dad's friend Peter was big Peter.
That's cute.
So Peter or Pather. Neither popular these days, unfortunately, or fortunately, who knows?
I know somebody who had a baby named Peter recently, and my mom's comment was, God, that's a very old man name.
Thanks.
Saying that mom's oldest brother is named Peter, and he's not that old. He's older than you are, but he's not old.
He's slightly older than me, yeah.
But sometimes some names just do fall off and without people even realizing it. Like a name like Stephen, Stephen and Darren have just kind of have been steadily dropping, and you didn't think they were kind of owl lad names. And
that's because if you're named Stephen and Darren, you're contractually obligated to mansplain whatever it is a woman is talking about.
That's deeply unfair to the Stevens of the world.
I
won't comment on the Darrens.
Is Stephen the male Karen?
No, surely
all
not.
All men are the male Karen.
All men are the main Karen, yeah. There's a friend of mine He writes a very, very good rugby blog, and he is a Munster fan. It's a brilliant blog. It's called Three Red Kings, and it's absolutely amazing. He's got such a brilliant insight into rugby. But he has a habit of referring to the people who will pop up into his mentions on Twitter to gloat whenever Munster lose. And they're usually, unfortunately for me as a Leinster fan, they're usually my fellow Leinster fans. But he has a tendency to call them all Dermots. It's like, oh, I got a bunch of Dermots in my mentions, which, you know, and I've got a lot of friends called Dermot or Dermot, and they're not all Dermots, but I still smile every time he says it.
What's the guy who wrote the Ross O'Carroll Kelly books? What's his name?
Paul Howard.
Because he writes a column in as Ross O'Carroll Kelly regularly, and I remember a few years ago he did one about some schools game and how somebody yelled "Come on, Hugo!" and there was like 9 Hugos on the pitch because it's becoming. And then recently, there's a guy Hugo that plays for the Irish team. I can't remember.
Yeah, Hugo Keenan.
Yeah, because it's such a bizarre new name, but apparently very popular in regional areas.
Here's the thing.
Dublin.
Hugo isn't getting big numbers, but it's getting big numbers within a very enclosed community, because there was it was a senior cup game. It was a Leinster seniors game, and there was three or four Hugos on the pitch, and they worked out the amount of Hugos that would have been born 17 years earlier means that was actually quite low. It was extremely concentrated within a rugby school area.
And is it Hugo McNeil was the former Irish international? Very good rugby player. Like, I imagine in the soccer sets there's probably an awful lot of Robbies.
Like a lot of people, I know what my parents would have called me if I was like a lot of lads. I know what I would have been called if I was a girl, and that name was Afric, is Afric, and I've always been curious about that name. I've always been very curious to meet other Africans and see them, and I've followed the progress of the name. I was always surprised at seeing how on the CSO data how maybe it's not as big a name, because I know about 9 or 10 Africs, and it seems like there's only 3 or 4 born a year.
But
I don't know any Africs.
But then obviously
Afric Niquet, the poet.
I know
poet.
Personally, I don't
and
know
the fictional
any
Afric.
Yes, of course, yeah.
From T.G. Carr.
And this is the thing. So whereas within maybe within the greater Rathfarnham area, chances are there was a very high. I mean, if you could concentrate this name right down, you would find that maybe phenomena like this do remind me that maybe I do live in a little bit of a bubble.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny that way that it happened. Never happened. There was never another. Actually, no. Sorry, that's a complete lie. My name is Geraldine, and my dad went to school with a girl named Geraldine from Stradbally, which is like the next town over. So that's where my name comes from. So I was like, there's no other Geraldines in Timahoe. I think I wrecked it after I came along. There's not been another one since.
There are Cork names.
Oh, Con, yeah. Finbar.
Maya.
Exactly.
Jeremiah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gubnet.
Gubnet is very specific to the Coolay Ballyvourne area. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There are Cork names for definite. There are probably Dublin names. I don't know. The only thing that springs to mind are nicknames like Whacker and Joxer
and Bimbo.
Muller. Bimbo, yeah. But there are probably Dublin names. I know traditionally speaking, George and Eddie were very very Dublin names. Not so much anymore.
Possibly so, and I think that was something that's maybe more of a tradition in the inner city and the north side of Dublin is something maybe that doesn't happen so much, is naming a son after their father as opposed to after their grandfather or another family member.
I was supposed to, if I was born a boy, I'd have been named after my dad. It'd be Colin.
Whereas all the Gary Juniors I know are kind of, and I suppose it does seem to be a geographical phenomenon from my limited experience of it. I don't know any lads I was in school with who named their sons after themselves.
My brother-in-law is named after his dad.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Where's he from?
Cooley, County Louth.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting to see if our listeners have any views on this and how widespread this phenomenon is.
My uncle was named after my granddad, and his son is named after him, and his son is named after us. So there's 4. But like that being said, so my granddad's name was Liam, and then his son was named Liam, but we call him Greg. I don't know why. And for a long time, my man thought.
Name?
No.
No?
Okay. But there's a lot of that going on in my dad's family. There's an Elizabeth whose name is June. It's not related. My grandmother's name was Mary, but she went by Philomena, which was her middle name. But generally, my mum, when she first kind of like started dating my dad, thought there was a Liam and a Greg, and she just hadn't met the Liam yet. But as it turns out, it was the same person. So there's four generations actually of Liam now.
Does he have Liam days and Greg days?
I don't know. I've never heard him be referred to as Liam. Maybe on a letter from the bank or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's four of them, but they don't go. The youngest one, I don't think, goes by Liam McAvoy the fourth. I don't know. I have no idea.
Liam McAvoy the fourth.
Yeah.
I've noticed a thing in American footballers. I'm a big fan of American football. And a lot of the, something I've only noticed in recent years, a lot of the players who would be young enough men, they'd be in their 20s or 30s, but I've noticed a lot of jerseys with senior on the back. Oh. And it's just, you've just named your kid after yourself, and now you've insisted on putting senior on the back of your jersey.
In case they don't mix you up with the 5-year-olds.
Yeah, but that's the thing, like, really, surely the senior's only supposed to apply when the kid has started to go and make a name for themselves and you need to be differentiated. Like, junior applies automatically. Liam's son is Liam Oak, regardless. Yeah. That absolutely has to happen. But Liam doesn't become Liam Moore until you need to, you know, differentiate between Channa Liam and Liam Oak. Like, until you need to put the senior there, he's just Liam. It's curious. Absolutely. I don't know. I don't really know that many people named after their dads. It sort of fell out of fashion in my neck of the woods.
You just reminded Anton Bjug.
Anton Bjug O'Cullough. Yeah.
Yeah. So instead of Oak, it's Bjug.
Like, it's Bjug and Donegal.
Which I always liked.
Because Anton Bjug is a strapping beast of a man. Like, he's in fine fettle. He's not Bjug at all.
An excellent specimen of a human being.
He is.
Stokoch bra, like, yeah.
And he listens to this show, so I'm getting on.
But I like that ism. I like that much more than junior or the second. I like the Og or the Bjug. Sweet. Yeah. Like, if you say Sean Og, you know that you're talking about Sean Og O'Halpine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
This is
as opposed to his dad.
Just Sean
O'Halpine. Yeah.
There was, I know, and particularly when you get in Celtic areas, when you have there's several Jimmines, and so there's Jimmine Mór Haig is, you know.
I love that. That is my favourite thing. Jimmy Fat Tig. Yeah, like, love it.
Mickey Ned.
Mór Fat Willy. But the Anna Mór Tuil is absolutely brilliant. It's one of my favourite features of Gaeltacht culture. And if you were to have an Anna Mór Tuil, I love the fact that it's not always a patronymic. It's not always your dad. If your mam was more well known, or from an older, more prominent family, you'd have your mam's name or maybe one of the grandmothers in there. So, like, I work like my Anna Mór Tuil. If I had an Anna Mór Tuil, would be Pather Hamish Hamish, which I really like. Actually, I'd really like to be known as Pather Hamish Hamish, because my dad's Shay and my granddad is James. So it'd be like Pather Hamish Hamish.
That's wonderful.
I know. Really, but unfortunately, I'm also just the only fucking Pather. So there's no need to be differentiated.
That's the thing that I like so much about it, because there could be, like, you know, 15 Ned O'Sullivans, but you need to clarify which Ned O'Sullivan you're talking about, which I adore. I think it's lovely.
But then you can either go with that, like, so you could have Ned Hian Wire. You know, who's Ned, who's Sean's son, who was Moira's son. Or you could have, like, say, if Ned O'Sullivan likes wearing hats, if he's always wearing hats, you could Ned a Hatta. which I just love. It's absolutely class.
Great. Like,
no, Ned a Hatta marus far ehner, as he is better known.
Just reading this week about a guy in Derry, I think he's called Mahogany Shoulders, or Johnny Mahogany Shoulders, because he went to 4 funerals in a week.
We need to do an episode on the fucking ridiculous ways that people get nicknames in Ireland. Like, I adore. Somebody had a thread on Twitter not long ago. I can't remember who it was, but it was like, tell me the stupid nicknames. And it was like that, you know, somebody ordered a fancy latte one time and they were forever known as Jimmy Latte. Like,
One of my favourites is a guy in Cork whose nickname was Chili because his real name is Con Carney.
That's great. Oh, that's fantastic. Great.
There was a family on the Blaskets, and one member of this family, he set a record for throwing a large stone called a casht. And so not only was he nicknamed Casht, but that entire branch of the family for generations and generations are called Casht, which is just brilliant. Why are you called Casht? Oh, my great-grandfather threw a stone off a fire one time. Brilliant.
So mundane. I love it. So I'm in I sew a lot. I'm in a sewing group on Facebook. And a few weeks ago, I posted a picture of something I had made. And there was like a bunch of comments. And then one lady was like, oh, I love your name. Like, I'd really love to use it. And I was like, oh my God, she's going to call her baby after me. And I was like showing her how to pronounce it. So I gave her actually a link to the podcast where I say it. And she was like, great. I raise Cairn Terriers and I like to give them Irish names. So there's a fucking Cairn Terrier in Kentucky named after me. That's it.
Great stuff. So I couldn't do an episode about baby names without seeking the expertise of Ireland's premier maternity-related podcast that is Mother of Pod. I spoke to Sophie and Jen, the presenters of that very show, recently, and the topic of baby names and choosing them came up.
Now, my big name-choosing tip is practice shouting the name angrily.
That was a good one.
That is going to be 80% of the time you're going to be saying this name angrily and shoutily. And I noticed that, so I learned that tip later. So with my first son, his name is Rufus. And like, that doesn't sound, it's Rufus! Doesn't sound good. Rufus! Rufus! Like sometimes I put the bark at the front of the word and lead with a Rufus. But then I learned. Now, what I also had with naming is letting my mom name them, actually. Terrible mistake.
Oh.
That's the thing. Did you guys find this? I thought it was going to be really fun picking a name for a baby. I thought that's going to be one of the fun activities. And I found I was bored of that conversation after about 8 minutes and spent the next 9 months just being like, oh, God, oh, we have to do the name. Oh, we have to do the name thing.
You find out a lot about suddenly, you find out all about your partner's exes and their names.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
I was like, I mean, yeah, because like last year was first. So then suddenly I was like, oh, we can't actually use that name. Sorry. Or that name either. And then, but yeah. So that second time around, I got to experience what it's like the other way around. But the no fun.
No crap. Do you also find you squirt out the kid and then you look at it and then you look at the name options and you're like, none of these are going to work?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I abandoned all of the pre-listing and none of the kids' that names had ever been on those lists. Do you know that kind of way? Mm-hmm. Like my mom picked Rufus and Arlo, which is my first two. And I don't know why. Like I tried to change Arlo's name quite soon after.
I remember.
Wanted to then change it to, do you remember what the new name was?
Oh, God.
Was it like Frank or something? It was quite on Arlo. And what happened was I tried to change it. I think it was Melvin. Sorry, it was Melvin. And I tried to change the new baby's name to like Melvin, your pal. And what happened was Rufus was three. He was my oldest. And what happened, he kept being like, but what happened to the other baby? Where's Mel? And I was like, no, this, where's Arlo? This is Mel. And what I realized was going to happen was this kind of weird family, a dark family secret was going to kind of mushroom here out of this scenario where Rufus would always be like, but I had another brother.
Arlo.
Where's Mel? Where's Arlo? And then like, you know, he'd be in therapy years from now and they'd be like, you know, any you know, trauma, and he'd be like, oh, I had another brother.
And he'd never accept the truth that you just changed the name of the child. The name didn't fit right.
Never couldn't accept go with that it. Truth. So it's really hard to change a baby's name when it has a sibling. Because the sibling will always remember the original name. Mm. Yes. Top tip.
I would like to do a shout out to anyone currently naming. And if you're like me and you're like, hey, I would like to put something interesting in, but don't want to push it. I encourage you to have a bit of crack with the middle name.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur is my eldest. His middle name is Justice.
Arthur Justice. Oh, excellent.
Robin is my youngest, and her name is Robin Hearts O'Neill. It's an oldie, but a goodie. She'll clearly fucking hate it, but that's her problem. I'm going to have had a real laugh in the meantime. And, you know, is that not what parenting's all about? Finding some me time.
Yeah, absolutely. Get some enjoyment where you can.
I think absolutely. Any micro revenge on your child. Perfect.
100%.
Before you go, I'd love to ask you both what your favourite Irish words are.
Yes. I'm ready. Shketamini.
Shketamini.
Oh, fantastic.
Has anyone said shketamini before?
No one has said no one has picked it as their word yet, as a matter of fact. So that's fantastic. Do you want to tell us what it means?
It means excited.
Mm-hmm. So you got the shketaminis.
I was going to say, yeah, you've got the shketaminis on you, which I do enjoy. Love to get the excitement physical. On me. I love shketamini. What did you say? I didn't hear you.
No, I just think getting the excitement on you. I just got it.
Yeah. And yeah, I just think it's a fun word to say, and it's a fun feeling to feel. And also, if anyone ever read Angela's Ashes by Frank McCourt, there was a whole running thing about how his mom called sex the excitement. And then, like, people having the excitement on the couch and the excitement over here and the excitement over there, and the excitement like out in the dumpster back alleys of Limerick with the rain pouring down. And anyway, so shketamini is my fave. Fabulous. What's yours, Jen?
Like the Irish for fuailean, the Irish for seagull. Yeah. I like the word. It suits the bird perfectly. Aggressive. We'll take whatever is in your hand. Fuailean. What are you looking at? Don't you think?
Yeah,
also, I knew
bird.
A guy with the name Fuailean, yes. Which I thought was strange. But, you know, we're an accepting country. You go.
I think so.
Be that bird.
Yeah, you do you. You do you, seagull pants, friend.
Shit on my shoulder.
I love
Sophie
it.
And Jen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Sophie and Jen from Mother Pod, available on the Tall Tales podcast network. You can hear the entirety of our conversation on our Patreon. We hope you'll check it out. Sophie White, has just released a book called Corpsed. It is published by Tramp Press, which, and if that isn't a seal of quality, I don't know what is. Anything they touch turns to gold. So Corpsed by Sophie White is definitely a book to look after. It's a memoir, a literary memoir in the same vein as Notes to Self and Ghost in the Throat. And I'm sure it'll be as successful as those two books are.
Love that. Definitely. Sophie was very popular for a while, wasn't it?
Yes.
We did that there, so.
So,
by the way, sorry, Derek, I know you mentioned it earlier, but we should just point out that in New South Wales, for some reason, Oliver is on an incredible streak. Yeah. Like, Oliver's recently been displaced as the top name, but I mean, has been the top name in like 8 of the last 9 years.
Really?
Like, it's incredible. There must be so many Olivers bouncing around Sydney. Would you name a kid Oliver over here? Does Plunkett outweigh Cromwell?
I mean, generally speaking, people think Cromwell, they just think Cromwell. I mean, we don't really think of, we don't refer to him as Old Oliver, unless you're referring to maybe Elvis Costello songs, Oliver's Army or anything like that.
Is that about Cromwell?
I think Oliver's Army is a reference to Cromwell.
Jesus. I like that song.
I could be wrong in that. So please hit me up with what the right answer.
Lasse's nephew here is Oliver. He's got an Oliver as a nephew.
I think it's a lovely name. Yeah. I do think it's a lovely name.
So please do hit us up with stories about how you got your name, maybe how your name is mispronounced. Think factors you take on board when naming a child. We'd love to hear from you. We'll put them in the next episode. Until the next time, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a slán from me.
A slán from me.
Like a slán wimsha.
Thank you very much for joining us this week. We hope you enjoy this week's episode. Motherfuckler comes out every week on the Head Stuff Podcast Network. If you can't wait that long for your next podcast fix, Head Stuff have a number of other very fine shows for you to check out. A favourite of mine is Words That Effect, presented by Connor Reed. Thank you very much to Brian for producing. Thank you to Kirsten for doing the wonderful art. You can get discounts on Kirsten Shields art prints if you support us on Patreon. Check that out at patreon.com/Derek. And until the next time, slánga fóill.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
People with children are the greatest contraceptives there are.
Bye-bye, baby.